These next 6 weeks, we are going to be looking at the question, what on earth am I here for? And, you know, I believe that everybody in the room this morning has asked that question at some point in their life. What on earth am I here for? And if you have not asked that question, then this is a great time to ask that question, because you need to know, what on earth am I here for? Why am I alive? What am I supposed to do with my life? And if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And if you have YouVersion on your mobile phone or on your smartphone, on your tablet, if you will, you can go there to YouVersion, open it up, go to the menu, and go to Live Events. If you click on Live Events, it'll say Search for Live Event. You can type in Bossier City, Louisiana. You click on that, and then it'll take you to North Point Community Church. What on earth am I here for? If you'll touch that, then you'll have all the notes and the scriptures from this morning's sermon. You can follow right along right there. Romans chapter 8, we're going to be reading verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, this is my favorite scripture in all of the Bible, and this is one of the most loved promises of the whole Bible, and it reads this way: and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And we know that in all things, somebody say all things. You know, and I checked before we came in here, I checked the Greek, I checked the Hebrew, I did all of my research, and all really does mean all. Okay, if anybody needs the definition of all, it's simply all. Okay, so there we go. I wanted to clear that up for you this morning, that we know in all things, in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. So many times we stop right there in that verse, and when people are quoting the verse, they stop right there. But this next part cannot be left off. It says, who have been called according to his purpose. Who have been called according to his purpose. You see, calling and purpose, they go together. There is a connection. There is a link between these two. We understand that God has a calling and a purpose for our lives. And I cannot wait to begin this adventure that starts today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we ask that your presence would be here. We ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we open up our hearts as we go on this great journey of discovering our life's calling, going on this discovery of what on earth am I here for? And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us over these next few weeks. Change us, mold us, make us everything that you have called us to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. What do you think of when you hear the word called? Most of us think of a phone call, of receiving a phone call, or of making a phone call. Maybe you're calling the pizza place, or you're making a call. But whenever I hear the word called, I think interruption. Because as a pastor, as a leader, as a coach, calls come whenever I'm meeting with somebody else, or when I'm talking on the phone with somebody else, or when I'm working on a project, when I'm trying to write a sermon or come up with some type of strategy, or when I'm spending time with my family, and then the phone call comes, and it's an interruption. And most of the time when people are calling their pastor or calling their coach, most of the time it comes with bad news. Most of the time people don't call me and say, hey, Pastor Philip, I just wanted to let you know I've got a beautiful beach house out there in Malibu, California, and it's going to be open for the next 3 weeks, and I'd like to fly you out there on my private plane and take care of all of your expenses while you're there and just love for you just to enjoy that. And that's never happened to me before. But if you have that house and you have that capability, my phone is open, okay? But most of the time people are calling because it's bad news. Somebody's sick. Somebody's in the hospital. They're in a desperate situation. Most of the time they're calling because they need something. There's some type of problem and they need an answer. And I have to confess to you, I'm not the best at answering my phone. Actually, when I said this in the first service, my mom was sitting back there on the back row and I heard my mom say amen. I'm not the very best at answering my phone, and sometimes I let it ring and I don't turn my ringer on, and it's on vibrator, it's on silent, it just happens to stay there for days, okay? And I don't get all of the calls, and so I'm not the best at answering the phone. Is there anybody else out there like me? If you're not like me, just raise your hand so I feel better about myself right now so I can keep preaching, okay? Thank you. But let me tell you this morning, there is one call that you don't want to miss. There is one call that you don't want to hit ignore. You don't want to hit decline. You do not want to overlook. There is one call. When God calls you, you don't want to miss that call. You accept that call. You answer that call, and you do it on the very first ring. You don't want to miss the call of Almighty God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, just two verses down from verse 28 in verse 30, "And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Now, there are some big words in there. We'll cover those a little bit in the weeks ahead. But today, we're going to focus on one word. And that word is called. Somebody say called. Now, I want everybody to say it. Say called. That is going to be our focus. And if we were going to put a tag on this series, "What on earth am I here for?" the subtitle would be this: Live Your Calling. What on earth am I here for? Live your calling. You see, the Bible is simply a story of people who answer God's call. When we begin to look through the Old Testament, and you can start in the book of Genesis, and you read about Abraham and Noah, and then you move on throughout the Bible, and you read the story of Moses and David, men and women that said yes to the call of God. And then you move on into the New Testament, and we see Peter, James, and John. We see Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, and all of these people that responded to the call of God. And for these next few weeks, we are going to be looking at five specific dimensions of God's call for your life. And not just looking at God's call, but also looking at how do we fulfill it. How do we fulfill the call of God that He has placed on our lives? Today is simply an intro. Today is an overview. And this morning, I want to share seven things you need to know about your life's calling. Seven things you need to know about our life's calling. And for those of you who are sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, he's going to keep us until 2:30. There is no way he can preach about seven things in 30 minutes. I just want you to know that I was successful in the first service, and so I have faith now for the second service as well. The first thing that you need to know is this: my calling is a gift from God. My calling is a gift from God. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I can't work hard enough for it. No, my calling has been graciously given to me by Almighty God. It is a present. And Galatians 1:6 informs us that God, by His grace, has called you to become His people. That God, by His grace, He has called you. You see, it is so comforting to know that it has nothing to do with your reputation, that it has nothing to do with your good works. It has nothing to do with your potential. It has nothing to do with your good looks. It has nothing to do with your business savviness. It has nothing to do with that. God has called you to be His people, and He's called you by His own grace. You see, it's important for you to see that your calling is a part of your salvation. Your calling is a part of your salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says this: He saved us and called us. He saved us and called us to be His own people, not because of what we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. He has called us by His own grace, and He has called us for His purpose, which that leads us to our second point. Say, we're already on number two. I told you I'm going to get through all seven. Number two is this: I'm called for God's purpose. I'm called for God's purpose. Not only my calling is a gift from God, but I am called for God's purpose. God didn't make you for you. God made you for himself. God did not make you for you. God made you for himself. It's his plan and purpose, not about your plan and purpose. Yeah, I remember when I was 18 years old. When I was 18, I had an experience with Almighty God. I had an encounter with God in my bedroom, and it was somewhere around 2:30 that night when I got out of my bed and I got on my floor and I just got face down right next to my bed, and I began to cry out to Almighty God. And it was there in that moment that I surrendered my life to God's purpose and to God's call. And from that moment forward, I have been bivocational. I've had several jobs. I have been a college football coach. I've been a high school coach, and I've had some menial jobs in between. But I have only had one calling. A lot of jobs, but I've had one calling. You see, a calling comes from God, and it is unique to your life. A career will allow you to make a living, but a calling allows you to have a life. You see, a career allows you to make a living. Yeah, some of you may work in construction. You might work in pharmaceutical sales. You might have a job. You might have a career that puts food on your table, that provides shelter for your family. And we thank God for those careers. But don't ever get your career and your calling mixed up, because God did not call you as a pharmaceutical sales rep to just be out there every day selling drugs. They're good drugs, but still, selling drugs. That is the avenue that he has provided for you to provide for your family. But I want you to understand, you also have a calling from God. You have a purpose from Almighty God, and that purpose is going to be about his kingdom. That purpose is going to be about building the kingdom of God on the earth. That purpose is going to be about serving the family of God. That purpose is going to be about building God's kingdom on this earth. Our calling is for God's purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." For we are God's handiwork. I love one of the translations says that we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. You say, well, Pastor Philip, I honestly don't feel like a masterpiece. I don't feel like I belong in the Louvre this morning. I feel more like I belong in the junkyard. I don't feel like a masterpiece. I feel more like a piece of trash. I feel like a piece of junk. Well, I want you to know this morning that you aren't junk. You aren't junk. And you say, how do you know that? How can you be so sure? Because I know that Jesus didn't die for junk. And I know that God doesn't create junk. And if he is creator, then he is your creator. And if he created you, then you cannot say you are junk, because he only creates masterpieces. You are God's work of art. And whenever God began to work on the masterpiece of your life, as he began to paint a beautiful picture, as he began to put things inside of you that you were going to need, as he put your personality together, as he put all of your characteristics together, as he planted you in the area of the country that he did, and as he did all of that, he did it for one reason, is so that you would know you are his masterpiece. You are not junk. You see, you also, not only are you not junk, but you were not put on this earth to be a consumer. And it's important, because it's important to take notice of this, because we live in a consumer-driven society. It doesn't take you very long driving down Airline Drive to realize that we live in a consumer-driven society. But if you aren't careful, the consumer-driven society will become a consumer-driven Christianity. And you must realize that God did not put you here to be a consumer, to ask questions, what can I take and what do I need and what can they provide me? No, no, no. God put you on this earth to be a contributor. You're not a consumer. You are a contributor. This is part of your good works, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. You have something to give, so you need to give it. It's not about what can I get from the church. It's not about what can I get from the kingdom of God. It's all about what can I give to the church? What can I give to the kingdom of God? Because you have to begin to see yourself as a contributor. God has a calling on your life that you would contribute. And then I love the last part of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That takes us to point number three, is this: God chose my calling before I was born. God chose my calling before I was born. Galatians 1:15 says, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Do you realize that's the third scripture just that I've read this morning that connects our calling with grace? Every time I see that, I just get more and more excited. Even as I was studying and preparing, I got more and more excited because I realized that it doesn't come down to me. It's not dependent upon me. It's all about his grace. It's all about how awesome he is. It's all about his goodness. It's about his faithfulness. It's all about him. And he is the one that chose and called me. By his grace, he has done that before I was ever born. This is what God spoke to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Can you just think about that for a moment? I knew you. I knew who you were going to be. I knew what you were going to think. I knew your tendencies. I knew your strengths. I knew your weaknesses. I knew your struggles. I knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. I already knew you. But listen to this. Even though he knew you, some of you thinking right now, well then surely I'm disqualified. If he knew me before then, I'm disqualified. And listen to what he says to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart, meaning that I claimed you as my own, and I appointed you, or I called you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were ever born, God chose your calling. And then there's this great scripture in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. And if you got your bookmark when you're coming in, and this is our memory verse on that bookmark for this week. You need to say this every single day. You need to allow this revelation to get in your heart. And this is what it says: I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. I am your creator. You were in my care before you were ever born. I want us to say that together this morning. Let's say it together. I am your creator. You were in my care before you were born. Wow. I am your... What does this scripture teach us? What does it teach us? When God said, I am your creator, what is he saying? He's saying that you're not an accident. I am your creator. I am the one that created you. And if I created you, then you are not an accident. It doesn't matter if you were born to a single 16-year-old mom. It doesn't matter where you came from. You were not an accident. And you cannot think that you were an accident, because if you think you're an accident, you're going to live like you were an accident. God doesn't need you living like an accident. God needs you understanding that you are living on purpose. He goes on, and not only I am your creator, but you were in my care. What does that teach us? You were in my care. That means that you were deeply loved and cared about. Before you were ever on the earth, God deeply cared about you. God was in love with you. God was taking care of you. You are deeply loved. And then finally, God planned my life before I was ever born. Before I was ever born, God already had a detailed description and plan for my life. That takes us to number four. Number four is this: my sins and mistakes don't change my call. My sins and mistakes don't change my call. And somebody should have said amen on that right there. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up your life. It doesn't matter whether you messed it up or whether somebody else messed up your life for you. It doesn't matter how deep of a pit you are in right now. It doesn't matter how many dumb decisions that you have made in your life, because your sin and your mistakes will not change the call of God. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that your calling is permanent. Your calling is permanent. In Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the Bible says, God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. It can never be withdrawn. The greatest example of this is the Apostle Paul. I mean, this was a rude dude in a crude mood. I mean, he was a bad guy before he became the Apostle Paul. Paul was a murderer. Paul was a religious terrorist. He was a violent killer. But yet he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, God considered me trustworthy and appointed me or called me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence I persecuted his own people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Can you say I did a lot of dumb stuff in my life? Can you say I did a lot of ignorant things? Can you say I have made a lot of mistakes? Can you say that I have not been perfect? Can you identify with Paul when he says, I did all of these things. I was ignorant and I was not believing. I was not walking in the faith. I had all of these issues. Has it ever dawned on you that possibly in all of your sin and all of your struggles and all of your violating God's people and all the things that you've done, has it ever dawned on you that possibly you're just in apostle training? Has it ever dawned on you that God might be taking you through something, because in the end of it, when you come out, you're going to come out like the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of all of our New Testament? Your calling is permanent. Your sins and your mistakes will not change. And here's the fact. God doesn't waste what happens in your life. God doesn't waste a single day, a single cup of pain, a single disappointment. God doesn't waste anything. Not even your sin and your struggle. God doesn't waste it. And not only do your sins not change your calling, what others have done to you, that doesn't change your calling either. Maybe you were abandoned by your parents at a very young age. Maybe you were sexually abused by a relative. Maybe you were betrayed by your best friend or maybe your spouse. But the pain and the disappointment inflicted on you by other people, it will not change the call of God. Write this down. Commit this to memory. God has no plan B for me. God has no plan B for me. God has no plan B for me. You see, God takes every mistake and every heartache and he turns it into plan A for your life. He has the divine and supernatural ability to cause all, say all, he has the supernatural ability to cause all things to work together for your good. You're saying, Pastor Phil, are you saying that it was God's will for me to go through that divorce? Are you saying that God made my child get sick? Are you saying, no. We live in a sinful, fallen world. We live with the real adversary who is trying to kill, steal, and to destroy each and every day. We live in a world that is perverted and full of disease. We live in a fallen state. But let me tell you how good God is. God has the ability to take every struggle every heartache, every hard time. And God has the ability to not say, okay, well, this is going to be plan B for you. Okay, this will be plan C. Okay, you keep messing it up. All right, now we're on plan Z and Y, and we're all the way down at the end of the alphabet. No, no, no. God says, this is plan A, because he has the unique ability to take everything in your life and use it back against the devil who came to kill and steal and destroy. And God says, not only is it not going to kill them, not only is it not going to destroy them, but I'm going to turn it around and it's going to be a blessing in their life. I'm going to turn it around and it's going to be a breakthrough in their life. I'm going to turn it around and it is going to be their ministry in life. You see, it's amazing. The calling of God, it's permanent. God has no plan B for me. God is working to see to it that only plan A is in my life. The fifth thing is this. My calling is connected to others. My calling is connected to others. You can't fulfill your calling by yourself. Calling and community go together. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. None of us lives for ourselves alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. There's a great illustration that none of your body parts work if they become disconnected from your body. You think about how amazing the eye is. Just for a moment, the intricacy of the eyeball to process all of the light and all of the thing and to create the shapes. But do you know, once that eyeball is disconnected from your body, as amazing as it is in the body, all of a sudden it's not that amazing anymore. Think about your ear right now. Just how amazing that I'm sitting here talking into a microphone. It's being projected through speakers, and that you are hearing the sounds and the vibrations of the sound waves, and all of this right now is making sense into your mind, and you're understanding, you're hearing and understanding everything that I'm saying. The ear is amazing, but you take that ear and disconnect it from the body and it's not so amazing anymore. Look at our hands and how we can move our hands and all of the things that we can do with our hands. It's amazing what God did when he created us. But if you detach anything of the body from the body, all of a sudden, it's not that great anymore. It's the same way whenever you detach your calling from the body of Christ. When you detach your calling from the church, you see, you have to understand that we work better together. We were called to live together. We were called to work together. We were called because my calling is connected to others. Hebrews tells us this, that we are holy partners in a heavenly calling. We are holy partners in a heavenly calling. And that's why we're always talking about the value of small groups, because you need to be connected to the body. You need to get connected with other people who are going through life the same way you're going through life. You need to get connected with people who have been in the church a little bit longer than you have, so that you can learn something from them. You need to get connected with other people who haven't been in the church as long as you have, so that you can then help them. You need to get connected, because we are all better when we are working together as the body of Christ. The sixth thing is this: God will empower what he calls me to do. God will empower what he calls me to do. What God calls you to do, he equips and enables you to do it. When I commit to my calling, God commits to the strength, the anointing, and the power. I told you when I was 18 years old that I had an experience with God, and I submitted my life to the call of God. And it was shortly after that that I began to share my testimony, and then I had opportunities to share little 5-minute sermons, and it just kind of began to grow inside of me. And whenever I graduated high school, I went to the University of North Carolina to play football, and I knew that God had a calling on my life when I went there, that I was not simply going to play football, but I was going as a missionary to the campus. And so I decided that I was going to have a Bible study, and I invited all of my teammates, and my teammates started showing up, and I was sharing, you know, about Jesus and lessons out of the Bible and all kinds of stuff. But something that never dawned on me is that they might have questions. I'd never thought about that before. They had questions, and I didn't have any answers. And I never will forget, as the first person said, I would like to talk with you afterwards. And I said, okay, that, man, that would be great. And they sit down, and the first question they asked me, I thought, not only do I not have the answer to that question, I've never even heard of that question before. But do you know what was amazing? As I began to talk back to that person, I began to say things that I'd never heard before. I began to say things that I knew I didn't know. I began to share things with them that I had never shared before, never read before, that I had never learned before. And I remember talking to them, and as I was talking to them, I thought, man, I should write some of this stuff down. This is like really good. Somebody else might need to know some of this stuff that I'm saying right now. And I remember leaving when they walked away, and I thought, wow, God, that was incredible that you supplied everything that person needed. And then the next person came and said, hey, I need to ask you another question. And so then I thought, well, man, I really wish I would have recorded what I said to the last person, because I know I can't remember that. And do you know that God was faithful the very next time? And I began to share and I began to talk. And it is really true that whenever you commit to the call, God commits to you to give you the wisdom and the knowledge, to give you the courage and the power. God commits to you that says, I will give you everything that you need. Every question they ask, I'll give you an answer. Every moment of insecurity, I will be your security. Every time when you don't know whether to turn left or turn right, I will be the one that steers your car. When you commit to the calling, God commits to you. And let me tell you, there's no safer place in the world than when God is committed to you. God will empower you. And that's what we're doing right now. We are learning how to live this life. We are learning how to live this life. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 4:1. I urge you to live a life. Live a life. We must learn what it is to live this life. And we got a little acrostic we're going to put up here on the screen for learn, because this is what we're going to be doing for the next 6 weeks. We're going to be learning how to live our calling. And it says this: listen to God's word every day. Listen to God's word every day. You've got the scriptures on your bookmark. I want you to quote that scripture, and I want you to quote it out loud. You see, it's important that you hear the word of God. When you read your Bible in your house, when you're alone, I encourage you, read the Bible out loud, because your ears need to hear what is in the book. It will make a difference. The second thing is we've got to do is we've got to enlist friends who challenge me. You've got to get around people who challenge you with their faith, who challenge you with their commitment to Christ. You need to get around people who are going to be checking on you, holding you accountable. Hey, are you reading your book? Hey, are you reading your Bible reading? Hey, are you committed to your prayer time every morning like you said that you were going to do? You need to get around people who are going to challenge you and push you to be better during these 6 weeks. The second thing is ask questions and accept correction. You have got to ask questions. What on earth am I here for? That's a question. This book is full of questions. We're going to be asking questions over the next 6 weeks because we are a people that need to find answers. And you know what? There are going to be some questions that you think you know the answer, and then you're going to discover that you didn't really know the right answer. And so you're going to have to accept some correction from God's word to say, wow, I didn't know that. And I'm going to accept the correction, and I'm going to learn how to live out my calling. The next thing is remember and reinforce what I learned. To remember and reinforce, you need to take these 7 things concerning the will of God. And you need to take them out, and you need to go over them tonight. You need to go over them again tomorrow. You need to get these 7 things down into your heart and into your spirit. You need to know about what it is to walk and to live the will of God. And then lastly, it's now do it. Now do it. We're going to learn it. Now we're going to go and do it. We are going to live the life that God has called us to live. Takes us to number 7. There is a prize for living out my calling. There is a prize for living out my calling. God promises a reward that will last forever. How important is it that you discover your call? Well, there is an eternal reward attached to you living out the call of God. This is what Paul writes in Philippians, and he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is the prize? Sharing God's glory forever. That is our prize. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. And we kept urging you to live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in his own kingdom and glory. It is an amazing thing that for all of eternity, God will share his glorious kingdom with each and every one of us if we are willing to live out our calling and receive the prize. God is willing to give us an eternal reward, an eternal prize, if we are willing to live out our calling. There is one fact this morning, and the fact is this: God is calling you. God is calling you. But there is also a question this morning, and the question is this: will you answer God's call for your life? You see, this is going to be my prayer for you specifically, and I'm praying it each and every day. I've already begun to pray it as we begin to study and put this whole thing together. But this is my prayer, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, and this is out of the Message translation. It says, I ask God to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength. You see, this is my prayer for each and every one of you. I'm going to be praying over the next 6 weeks that God will make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. I believe there's going to be a facet of God that you see that you've never seen before. I believe there's going to be a characteristic of God that you're going to see during these 6 weeks that you have never, ever seen before. I believe that God is going to enlighten you and give you insight that you have never had before concerning the heart of Almighty God. And I'm going to believe that your eyes are going to be focused and clear so that you can see exactly, somebody say exactly, so that you can see exactly what it is that he is calling you to do and to grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life that he has for his followers. God has a glorious life for you. If your life is not glorious, then you are living below your means. If your life is not glorious right now, you are living outside of what God has for you, because he has a glorious life for all of his followers. He has an abundant life for his followers. He has a life that is overflowing for all of his followers. So if you are not living the glorious life, I believe in these next 6 weeks, you are going to learn how to live this glorious life, this life of celebration, this life of greatness, this great call that God has for you. We are going to figure out not only what it is, but we're going to figure out as a church, how are we going to fulfill it? Can somebody say amen?